right. Welcome back to Black Guys on White Movies. I am one of your hosts, Aaron Covington.
Yep. And I am another host, Amon Adumer.
And I am their white friend, Brandon Gardner.
And this week, we are looking at the movie Hoosiers. It's our movie of the week, man. Some Indiana basketball lore. We're going to get into it. It was a lot of fun watching this one because I'm from Indiana.
Right.
And I say that this movie was like so much of an important thing, but it existed. You know what I mean? Like everybody's aware of it. It's not like we all watched it or got together to watch it or anything, especially not being from a small town like this movie is, but mm-hmm. It still is a thing. I think the first time I watched it, I was like a sophomore maybe in high school.
Mm.
But a lot of good things. I think we'll get into a lot of dope anecdotes about high school sports and Indiana. I'll throw in some Indiana factoids about high school ball and things.
Cool.
It'd be a fun time.
Dope. I'm surprised they didn't make you watch this during snow days.
Right. I think by that time, like this movie came out in 86. I think it was just a little too something that people kind of in the 90s started to reject, maybe that like sappiness or that like emotional, the part of it.
There's also conservatism to it. That's sort of like we've talked about with some other 80s movies that I don't feel like I completely understood. Like the times I saw it was definitely on like TNT when I was a kid growing up, it would just be on and I would watch it.
Right.
And it was like, this was definitely a movie. I remember when Spike Lee, and we'll get into this, Spike Lee sort of talked about how the movie was racist and is not a good movie basically.
Right.
That was like one of those ones where I was like, oh yeah. It's like, I, as like a white kid from like a white town, I didn't fully like, take in the racism of it or really like think about how they represent the team that they beat.
Right.
This was an interesting movie to watch for my like 40-year-old 2022 self to be like, Oh yeah, this is what, these are elements I missed when I watched it when I was 12.
For sure. That was definitely an issue. Let me read the synopsis here before we get into it. A coach with a checkered past and a local drunk train a small town high school basketball team to become a top contender for the championship.
Yeah.
No.
Loosely based on a true story.
That summary sounds way cooler than what the actual movie was.
Oh yeah, I'm excited. Because Amon, you're the one who hasn't seen it. You hadn't seen it before this, right? So you're perfect.
Yeah, I hadn't seen it before this. In my brain, I'd heard the term Hoosiers before, but it was like, similar to like Wheaties, where I'm like, okay, it has something to do with sports. Oh, wow.
And no, Hoosiers is not about sports.
Hoosiers is not about sports?
Hoosiers is a term for people from Indiana.
Right.
Oh. And
Californian is Californian people. Hoosiers is from Indiana.
It's used independently. So this movie.
It's all encompassing.
Oh, did they say that in the movie or did I just miss it?
Okay. No, I'm telling you, as an Indianian, I mean a Hoosier.
Okay, cool. That makes sense.
This is the purpose of that word. It doesn't have a real origin. They used to be like, it was people saying who's there and it got mushed together to be Hoosier, but it doesn't have a real origin that you can like pin down, just anecdotes or whatever.
But it's Indiana University's, what do you call them? Mascot their, or whatever you call it.
Yeah, their logo, their thing is the Hoosier, Indiana Hoosiers.
Okay. That's it. Okay, that's very interesting. And what's the mascot look like? What's a Hoosier look like?
I have no idea.
I can't even picture it. It's red and white.
It's like how the Phoenix Suns mascot is a gorilla. A sun doesn't look like a gorilla. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whatever their mascot is not a Hoosier.
Philadelphia Phillies, for some reason, have like an alien.
Their mascot is just like a guy in a costume. Like an angry looking dude in a costume. Like, I guess they had a fox at one point.
Interesting.
Oh, that's IU Fort Wayne. So that's a spinoff, quote unquote. Anyway, it's not a real thing. It's just a guy.
Got it.
in a costume who probably jumps off with trampolines or whatever.
So Aman, this is your first time watching it.
Yeah.
Give us like first impressions.
First impressions. Well, first off, I don't want to offend anybody that loves this movie.
No, go for it. That's what killed the sacred cow.
You mean just like any listener who's like, I love Hoosiers. I want to, man, there's a podcast that did Hoosiers. I search every day. Every day I am on the podcast app. I type Hoosiers. Nothing comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Finally. Something came up. I hope they don't offend me.
I hope they only positive things to say.
Yeah. Black guys on white movies, they're going to love this.
They're going to love it.
They're going to love this. My first impression was knowing the rhythms of this kind of a sports movie.
Mm-hmm.
My first impression was it felt very slow. And of course, I was immediately thinking like, okay, is this how they're going to play basketball? Is this real? Are they going to if they're starting from fundamentals, talking about defense in the beginning of the movie, I'm like, I can't watch a whole movie where they're just teaching these kids how to play basketball basics.
Just doing lateral slides.
Exactly. Yeah. Bounce passes and lateral slides. I'm like this. So it was tough. It was tough.
But that's what they do at the beginning of like modern, like Coach Carter, he's like locks the gym and just makes them run laps the first 45 minutes of the movie.
That's true. That's true. But it's Sam Jackson. And you're like, oh yeah, he's got that charisma and he's going to scream and fight. He's also fighting kids. You remember he put that kid up against the wall and like slammed him.
Okay.
I was like,
that's what you're looking for.
I wanted something to happen. Like
that was all backstory in this movie.
He had fought a kid.
Oh, true. True. But we didn't even get to see it. I'm like, put it on the screen. I want to see that. I want to see him fight these kids. Oh, and I want to see how good he is.
Aman, you picked Tiny Furniture. You need to calm down complaining about a slow movie. Get out of here.
Before I forget, because we talk about slamming kids, one of the other things that my perspective was very different watching this time is when I was a kid, is the backstory that he punched one of his players is crazy.
Yeah.
Like that's something where I fully am like, you should not hire him ever to coach basketball again.
But here's, okay, first black movie of the week. This was an easy one. Above the Rim. Ooh. All day.
You had some options.
I did have some options, but Above the Rim to me just had to be for our first sports movie.
Right. Very different.
Any sports movie for sure. I had to go Above the Rim, especially a first basketball movie. Above the Rim, Dwayne Martin, Marlon Wayans, Tupac Shakur, Wood Harris, Bernie Mac. Amazing cast.
I almost cast Wood NYC. Harris in this one. Yeah.
You'll say that again?
I almost cast Wood Harris in this one.
Ooh. Ooh.
He's a real player. Yeah.
That could have fit. Ooh.
Yeah.
Man, I like that. So yeah, if you haven't seen Above the Rim, don't even talk to me. Like, I don't know why I would have anybody that is a friend that follows me that hasn't seen Above the Rim. We could watch it. Hey, we could have a screening party for Above the Rim. One of my favorite movies. I'm not saying it's one of the best movies of all time, but definitely one of my favorite.
I was trying to think what you would pick. I thought about Above the Rim. I was also thinking He Got Game is just as far as like high school basketball.
Right.
Black protagonist, Spike Lee. Mm-hmm.
They're both about high school basketball players. Either one could have worked. Above the Rim is just more fun and it's like 90s fun and really
simple. I think
about like He Got Game too.
Yeah,
He Got Game is a classic.
And as far as like that, I mean, that's one of those ones where Ray Allen, like you get an actual amazing basketball player to do the basketball.
Like right. He's shooting.
And,
he's
really shooting. We'll talk about Jimmy Chitwood and the guy who plays him as a character that is described as the best player the principal has seen in the last 40 years.
Yeah.
The last 40 years. Basketball was barely a sport for 40 years at that point.
The movie's taking place in 1952.
When that popped up at the beginning of the movie this time, I was like, oh yeah. And like there's a certain Aman, you go ahead before I get into like
yeah
no, what no, that I, means in America and in Indiana in 1951.
Truly, truly. I get it. I'm like, okay, this is 1951. You probably aren't watching basketball on TV, or in this town, maybe there's the one TV that everyone's surrounding.
You're definitely not watching basketball on TV.
It's not watching basketball on TV.
Not on TV. Yep.
Right. So I get it. It's like, oh man, that guy can dribble and stop, shoot the ball and walk backwards. Wow. He's the best basketball player I've seen. I get that. I get why he seems like the best in the world in this small town, you know?
All he does is shoot 15-foot baseline jumpers the whole movie.
Yeah. Hey, he's one of the more skilled players in the league. He's got the mid-range game.
Truly.
He's got one of these shots.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yes.
Like, he's good to the side of his face.
Keeping your elbow in. His elbow like turned his body.
Yeah.
It's all the way in. Yeah. It's spring-loaded, and it only takes him 30 seconds to prep that shot, too.
Yeah, so not like, a quick release. Yes. Very low release. Shoot from like his forehead. But
very advanced for 1951. If you watch a video of even NBA from the 60s and watch him shoot, it's like
Bob Cousy.
Yeah. He's got a 1970s, maybe even mid to early 80s jump shot.
That's very true. You have to put it all in the context of 1952
right.
and how unevolved the game was at that point.
Yeah.
So you got to understand. Yeah, I don't know where everybody's from.
Got to give him credit. He, in the trivia, he was one of the only players, like actor players, who hadn't played high school basketball.
He had not?
He had not. He had like tried out for his high school basketball team and not gotten on.
Then why was he the star?
Yeah.
They did like an open call.
He had to act a whole lot.
I think they just liked his face. They just liked his face. And he's got an interesting face. He has like a very haunted face, the guy who plays Jimmy Chitwood.
It's a perfect face for country, a super country, small town place, a kid that like sticks out just a little bit, you know.
In a weird way, the total absence of emotion also sort of fits his character, where it's just like, he's just like making jumpers and just like, he's got a Tim Duncan, no expression.
Yeah.
Not a game.
He's a machine.
Like also, he could have also played like a sniper in Vietnam. Like, yep. That's the kind of person who can kill people. Yeah.
I think all these basketball players look like war veterans. Like there was an absence of emotion throughout everybody. I don't know.
Yeah. They didn't get the players.
They got into a brawl.
Until they got into a brawl.
They had one season, they had two brawls.
That's true.
You know, again, 1951. Backwoods America. Like these are people so far off the grid, so to speak.
Yeah, truly.
Like they are country as country. I bet there might have been one working toilet in that whole town. These were outhouse people.
Right.
Farm people. You were lucky. He's like, the school only has 64 boys. I was like, that's a lot. That attend regularly? Like, how many have good attendance? Because a lot of them kids are working on the farm.
Yeah.
Their futures are like in that town, in a neighboring town, wherever they can find a wife, really, if, you know, if they can. Mm-hmm. It would have been compared to like a lot of stuff, how we see the world now, like a sense of history. It's like, man, that was a rough existence for everybody.
That's true.
Yep. Yep. You could tell when they hired the main guy to come in, he was not just the basketball coach. He was teaching like three or four classes.
Yeah. He taught civics and history.
Yeah. Civics. And I'm surprised they even would have cared that he hit a kid. That's a school that had paddling. 100%. That's a school that still had paddling.
Right.
Oh, guaranteed.
They had to stop paddling when I was in school. Like in eighth grade, they were like,
oh, wow,
we're not doing any more, or seventh grade or something. They were like, we're not doing any more paddling at the school. I was like, we do paddling at this school?
That was a public school?
At a public school, yeah, wow. Bro. This was like the mid 90s. So
that's wild.
1951, kids were just getting jacked around by anybody.
Anybody
wanted this to take a swing.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. This is when the village was your family. Like anybody could just come up and be like, hey, you're doing this wrong. And then give you a wallop. Kid. Yeah. That's
cool.
But this is perfect. Like small, this is real small town, like not small town, but there's stuff to do. This is real small town Americana, the stuff of like apple pies on the windowsill and all that kind of stuff. I mean, the opening shots, it comes in and like, we see the landscape.
Right, cornfields. Yeah,
corn. Oh, cornfields. The foliage.
Right.
It's just beautiful. It's like perfect fall colors and everything. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And even on the poster with the shoes, if you look it up, it's like the shoes are in the foreground and in the back is just like cornfields, farmland.
Right. That's the story.
Gone. Truly. I'm surprised basketball was the sport for this town. I guess there weren't enough people in the town to play
football. It's Indiana, yeah.
Right. Indiana and a lot of the Midwest is 90% just like farmland. Like when we're in LA and you're on the highway, the highway is in between cities. There's stuff out the window. When you're in the Midwest, especially Indiana, and you're driving on the highway, there's nothing out the window. It might be hilly in like Kentucky, but it's generally flat and it's just fields. Even here, when you drive by fields, you see the cows. In Indiana, you might not even see the animals. Right. It's just
huge farms. Yeah.
It's like driving is so meditative in the Midwest because there's nothing to distract you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a different world. And I'm just trying to paint that picture a little bit for people that haven't been out there, haven't driven out there.
Mm-hmm. I think you're too close to this movie. I think you can't be objective about this movie.
I'm going to tell you the truth. I never liked Hoosiers.
Great. Let's get into that.
Okay.
This was
Northern Indiana. Yeah.
Northern Indiana.
Right.
They play a South Bend school at the end, but we used to play all the South Bend schools.
Mm-hmm.
We had our own conference, these small towns like LaPorte, Indiana, Chesterton, Valparaiso.
Mm-hmm.
These were all like all white schools. Mm-hmm. They might have one black guy on the team, but they were all white. That was our conference. And then we would play South Bend teams, which would be mixed, majority black even. And we might play a team or two from Gary, all black. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or East Chicago, which is also in Indiana, East Chicago, Indiana, all black. And that was kind of the sports landscape there. It was like these little cities that thrived in the steel mill era because, you know, the Great Lakes were there and Chicago's right across the lake. So there were all these little factories and things where if you were black, you could get a job at the time, you know? Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm.
And then right outside of that were these small white kind of farm towns. But I guess when I was growing up, they weren't farms so much. They were just small white towns. Right. And that was the environment in which I grew up.
Right. And definitely
extremely white on one side and extremely black on the other side.
Wow.
Whatever those words might mean, you know.
And your school, I'm sure, much more representative of the team they play in the finals than the Hickory team.
No, my school specifically in Michigan City, Indiana, because we were on Lake Michigan and we also bordered the state of Michigan, but we were Indiana.
Uh-huh.
We were very mixed.
This team was like somewhat mixed,
My whole city was very mixed. Like when I got into high school, it could feel like 50-50. Don't know what the exact demographics were.
But a big school? Big classes?
No. My graduating class was like 400.
Okay. People. So compared to Hickory, which was like, I don't know. Yeah. 60.
A dozen. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Indiana did this thing and they kind of mentioned it in the movie, but if you go like the Wikipedia page, but like they had one basketball tournament
for
all schools.
Fascinating.
For years.
Up until the late 80s. Yeah.
Until 97.
Wow. Oh, 97.
That's when they officially changed it and they said, okay, if you're a bigger school, you're in class 4A all the way down to 1A.
Mm-hmm.
So until then, that's why this story does hold so much lore in the state because it's like anybody can win a tournament. It's just basketball. Everybody in Indiana loves basketball. And this story is like the epitome of like the small school winning, beating the big schools. Of course, there's a racial element in it, which, you know, we definitely got to get to soon.
Mm-hmm.
But before we even get to that, just like it was the size of the school thing. This was the ultimate underdog story in the state. Even before the movie, people knew about it that cared about high school basketball. And a lot of people cared about high school basketball. You know, you could compare it to football in Texas or
football Alabama,
in Ohio.
Or Georgia, yeah.
Lacrosse and some
Maryland. Northeastern I don't know. State. Yeah.
So that's kind of like all like the background. to my experience with this.
Yeah.
And so, because of the racial component, it was never, you know, that was a big part of it. And it was, it just felt kind of corny. It didn't feel like it really spoke to me. So it was never like, that's why I didn't watch it until high school. And even that was just like, just felt obligated.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it. I think just because I played basketball, and like I would say, like the things it has going for it, it's got like a good 80s score. Score does a lot of heavy lifting in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Great score.
Yeah,
definitely. I think Gene Hackman's a good actor. I definitely this time, like thinking about him as a coach, like I definitely want to get into some of the things his like coaching philosophy, if you can say that. And like the things he says, like, what are you talking about?
Right.
And also that his main thing just seemed to be obedience. Like that was a thing that he like drilled over and over. It's like what is most important to him is obedience.
Right.
And from him came Bobby Knight. I mean, Bobby Knight was coaching before this movie, but it was that mode of coaching.
It was that era for sure. Yeah.
And a lot of coaches in the state were not dissimilar from this.
Bobby Knight famously choked a player. Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
On TV.
I can mention his other antics, but
Through chairs. Yeah.
Amon's mind is blown. He's like, what is going on in Indiana high school basketball? Well, college ball with Bobby Knight. Yeah.
Yeah. I immediately look up his photo and he looks like a guy that choked multiple players.
Yeah. So just follow my rules. I know what's best. Shut up. Military kind of mentality to coaching.
Yeah, because it's funny. It's like in this kind of sports movie, there's always the lesson the team needs to learn to be good, usually, right? And a lot of times that lesson is teamwork is better than individuality. But that wasn't that, like he said that a little bit, but not really. Like,
yeah,
that wasn't they didn't seem to really struggle with that early on.
Yeah. Right?
The problem was just people not listening to him was the thing that really made him mad and made him like sit a player when they didn't have enough people to put five guys on the floor to prove that point.
To play four on five.
Whoa. Just
to prove his point.
And that's another, like, to get into the basketball a little bit, the guy he sat was shooting open jumpers.
Right.
It's not like he was like in Kobe mode, like taking on three people and shooting fadeaways. Right. They're just open jumpers he was making. They were not worse shots than they would have gotten if they'd passed the ball four times.
Exactly.
100%.
And that was the other thing. He kept saying, sorry to harp on the basketball, but like beginning, he just keeps saying pass the ball four times, but no one is cutting.
No cuts.
No movement.
There's no play. It's just like pass it back and forth.
And they're having a hard time passing it to each other because the defenders are guarding them so closely because no one's moving.
But I wonder, like, how much of that is 1950s basketball, too? Like, I don't think they were running a bunch of pick and rolls in 51, you know, or back cuts.
Yeah, maybe it's that. Right. That's the kind of thing I'm like, fake it so it looks better. It doesn't need to be that accurate.
Like,
this is too, the basketball is too bad.
So, I didn't really like this movie ever, but I never thought it was a bad movie at the same time. I was like, oh, okay, I get it. Whether or not I have to love it or not is a different thing. But I had some, you know, Hackman is good. I definitely have respect for Jimmy Chitwood coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And it has all the sports movie traps. And like you said, the writer did this and he did Rudy. Apparently he wrote an Indy 500 movie that he's trying to get made. It's like,
he wrote Bleed for this, which I didn't see.
This guy is just an Indiana sports writer. He should just, they should just, I don't know, make that his own thing. Just all,
but it's
just,
also, he's like a white guy underdog writer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's his like big thing. Like that's Rudy and Hoosiers.
Yeah. But in Indiana specifically.
He does. Yeah, specifically in Indiana. State. Yeah.
Somehow he's Indiana Stallone, but he didn't get the you know, he didn't get the, because he wasn't in front of it. He should have been the coach is what it was, what it should have been.
Right.
Exactly.
Or Dennis Hopper's role, played the drunk dad.
Oh,
and he's another one. I think he was the one, he got a Oscar nom for that. And that's a fun part. And I sort of like trying to talk about the likability of the coach. I do think him giving that chance to that drunk dad, I was on board for that. I was like, this is cool.
Yeah. Yeah,
that was has a real quick arc where he goes from like calling the play that wins the game to like showing up on the court drunk the next game. It's like, oh man.
Yeah.
It's quick. Yeah, enjoyed that part of it. I also like the general idea that a town cares so much about basketball that they call town meetings to decide whether or not to replace the coach. And an initial one just when he showed up. Yeah, that to me is like, that's really funny. Like the local minister was like, you know, we want to make sure you're a man of God. Also, we're curious, do you want to run zone or man to man? And I'm like, that's pretty funny.
That was super funny. And yeah, that is, it is sweet. It is sweet. I'm sure for what city this is based on, I'm sure it's like amazing. If I were in a small town, and hell, if anything was made about Denver sports at the time I was growing up in Denver, I think it would be incredible. I think we'd all watch it.
Yeah.
So can I get that.
Can I mention a couple of the discrepancies or the interesting facts about the real team?
Yeah, I was actually just going to ask you to give us the real story. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the real story, it's this town called Milan in Indiana. It's always funny when like random towns in the middle of the country have like famous European city names, like Paris, Texas, Milan, Indiana. Mm-hmm. But very small school. Here are some of the big differences. So the coach they hired was young. He was like in his mid-20s when they hired him. They hired him because they fired the last coach because he got new uniforms without permission from the school district or from the principal. So they fired him for that.
How dare he? They commission those uniforms through proper forms, buddy.
They bring in this new guy. He's like 25. His big thing, which they don't really get into in the movie, is he does this like slow down four corner offense. So they used to play like a run and gun style before him. Right. He slowed the ball way down. If you look at the scores of his team's games, they're winning like 40 to 32. It's like, man, these games must have sucked.
Yeah. High school games can already be tough, but when a team is stalling, because back then, for people that don't, in basketball now, they're the shot clock. So when you have possession, you only have a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. You have to shoot the ball or it's a turnover. And that kind of keeps the pace of the game up, because teams back then, especially if they didn't have as much talent, so they couldn't play as fast or they didn't have as many players,
right,
they would run these slower offenses so that they would have the ball for longer and the other team with better athletes or better talent couldn't run up the score.
Yeah. Especially if they got up to an early lead. It's like, okay, cool. Pass the ball around.
Yeah.
So that was a fun fact. But the other thing was, this movie sort of conflated a few years where this team was already really good when this guy started coaching, and they made the state finals like his first year. And so they came into the year, they won the state finals as like heavy favorites. Everyone knew this school is going to be really good. They were 19-2 in the regular season. And partly they had two losses because they were playing out of conference big schools to sort of get ready to play big schools for the tournament. Like they knew they were going to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
So both those things is like, that's not how the movie depicts it. And then also it was sort of hard to tell, but as you're going through the different school names, like it seems like the stand-in for the team they beat in the championship was the team that Oscar Robertson was on.
Right. That's the story.
But that was like in the semifinals. It wasn't the championship game.
And he was only a sophomore.
He was only a sophomore, yeah. The big city school with like the integrated team was not the championship game.
Okay.
But that game was a big deal in the state because of that. And Oscar Robertson was already like the best player in the state, even as a sophomore.
Yeah. Although he didn't win Mr. Basketball, the guy that Jimmy Chitwood is based on won Mr. Basketball. I'm sure it was racially motivated.
Yeah.
Okay. So what was his name? His name was Bobby Plump. So the real Jimmy Chitwood's name was Bobby Plump.
And then Oscar probably won the next 2 years or at least his senior year.
I'm sure. Yeah. He had to have been so much better than anybody else.
Just for context, Oscar Robertson is one of the greatest basketball players in history. Ever.
Yeah. So imagine 1953 playing Jimmy Chitwood.
He's like the 1960s Jordan, more or less.
Yeah, 6'5" point guard, first guy to ever average
Magic Johnson. He was Magic before Magic in the 60s, basically. To give you some context, top 10, 15 player of all time.
Yeah, and so imagine him at the high school level.
Yeah, just dominating and then losing to Milan. But he won. They won like the next 2 years.
Yeah.
School, Crispus Attucks, I believe, was the name of his school.
Oh, wow.
Let's go through the movie a little bit. And then we get to casting. I didn't do a whole bunch of casting because I was
me
like,
either.
I don't know how to cast all these players, you know?
I didn't cast them, and I didn't cast all the like angry town dudes either.
Yeah.
Because there's like 10 of them, and they're interchangeable.
Yeah. I cast all the players, but you'll see.
Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah.
We might just give them on a run. So this movie, first, let me say, got to give a shout out to my hometown again, Michigan City. We had two Mr. Basketballs.
Really?
Wow.
Two in the 80s. Delroy Brooks. And Dan Palombizio. Both had very short stints in the NBA. I think they made like training camps and maybe some games here or there in the season. Mm-hmm. And I think both
were on some coaching. Where'd they play college?
I think Delroy. Wait, let me make sure this is his name. It's not Dan Palombizio. I don't know where he went to college.
I was just curious if they stayed local and did IU.
He played with Charles Barkley in the NBA.
Oh, okay.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
On the Sixers or the?
On the Sixers.
Cool.
Oh, that's amazing. And
context. Oh, no, we had three, and we had Charles Macon in the 90s. Charles Macon was actually from Michigan. Well, they were all from Michigan City. Well, I was getting confused, but we knew who he was because that happened like in 92 or 93.
There's definitely no Mr. Basketballs from Saranac Lake, New York, which is where I grew up playing basketball.
Oh, that's funny. in New York.
Where I was from, like if you went on to play D3 somewhere, you were one of the best players in the conference. Very, very few people went on to play, even college basketball.
That's so funny. In Denver, the high school I went to, Chauncey Billups went there.
Oh, cool.
It was Delray Brooks. That's why I couldn't. Chauncey Billups, wow, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Delray went to IU, but clashed with Bobby Knight. So then he left for Providence where Rick Pitino was.
That's a funny switch.
Yeah. And Palombizio went to, we don't know. He went to Purdue.
Okay, cool.
Then transferred to Ball State. That was 81. And then Charles Macon went to Central Michigan. He went to Ohio State and transferred to Central Michigan. So none of them stuck where they knew in their first schools. Maybe that was
interesting.
Part of the problem. Yeah.
I mean, without knowing the context, I'm going to side against Bobby Knight. Because he just seems like such an asshole.
Yeah, he doesn't get credit for her. He gets credit for being for ruining Del Rey's career. Okay.
Yeah.
So in the movie, first thing I noticed was how rough everybody must have been living. Mm-hmm. 40 years, 1951. Come on. Since 1910 in basketball. What? Who are you? Come on, man.
Was it's a silly thing to say, yeah.
So I was watching this to get to like the premise of the podcast. When they're in the first practice and those two guys end up getting kicked out or leaving, the guy's like, I was just wondering when we were going to play. And they're like, you can get out of here. And he's like, come on, Jimmy, or whoever. Mm-hmm. And the guy goes, come on, Gizzard. And the guy goes, I ain't no Gizzard. I thought to myself, nobody can do sad sack. Like a white guy. I was like, he is so kind of just sad and pathetic right now. I ain't no Gizzard. I'm getting out of here. I was like, man.
And we never see the first guy again. The guy who was like been an asshole just gone the rest of the movie.
Yeah. And that's a trope that we keep seeing. They do it in Coach Carter. Guys leave and then come back. They do it in Remember the Titans, or guys get kicked off the team later with bad attitudes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Such a strong sports movie trope. Like, if you don't fall in line, if you're not all team all the time, you're out of here.
Yeah. And real life movie trope. I feel like a real life sports trope. I feel like it happens a lot in Last Chance U, where you're like, oh, man, I want this person to stay, but they got issues with whatever and they leave.
I cannot imagine, like, I did not go to a high school with a top basketball program. I cannot imagine someone just like cracking jokes and talking to another guy when the coach was talking.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be nuts.
Yeah. I mean, that was definitely a split second. You hear that whistle on the line.
Ooh,
he wouldn't be like, kick you out. He'd be like, you got to run. You want to talk or you want to run? You're going to run.
This, and Gene Hackman's coach character screamed less than coaches I had in high school.
Oh, yeah.
He was like overall pretty chill.
Gene Hackman is so funny because he's like, got this weird laugh every time. He's like, I was like, is this guy acting? Why is, what kind of affectation is that? But he doesn't do it every time you've seen Gene Hackman. He doesn't do that laugh, but he does it sometimes in other movies.
I mean, that'd be amazing if that was a laugh he came up with for this character.
That's just so funny. Character, he's like,
I think my character laughs
that would
like
beat a kid in the 1940s definitely had a weird laugh.
100%. They didn't know. They didn't know better. This is how they laughed.
So the movie also had the trope of, okay, the coach comes in. He's kind of a hot shot or whatever. He's changing the rules. And then the one parent that has to bring the kid back.
Mm-hmm.
It's always like a either a big dude or a big angry mom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's a quiet one, but somebody that everybody in the town respects. And they always say, hey, let him do his job. And then somebody says, but wait. And he's like, hey, if you could have done it, you would have done it. Get out of here and let him coach.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All the time. All the time. And this movie nailed it with the biggest dude. This dude was my size, 6'7".
Oh, he was huge. Yeah. They should have snuck him on the team.
Talking about apologize to the coach. And the rest of you, all the other townspeople who were like trying to watch practice, he was like, get out of here. Respect me because I'm that guy.
I'm the big farmer.
I'm the big, quiet, stoic farmer that
I'm probably respects. The biggest man you've ever seen in your life.
Definitely. Then and now, really. Unless they're hanging out with a bunch of basketball players, but like NBA.
He really should have been out there. He should have been a power forward. He should have got that big farmer in there.
This does make me think of, now that we've been talking about it, in 1950s basketball. If there was a time travel movie, I would love to see one where like someone goes back in time just to play basketball in the 1950s. Like a guy who's not that great.
Yeah.
Now goes back and he's doing crossovers and people are like, what the heck?
Yeah. Ref, you're going to let this happen?
The ultimate Space Jam is like, I got to get all the best basketball players from movies to beat some magical squad. And they go and get Jimmy Chitwood and Ray Allen and he got game. Honestly, I mean,
I'd love it if they went back in time to beat the Hoosiers team. It's like, we're going to go back in time.
We have to beat the Hoosiers team.
They can't
give me Wesley Snipes from White Man Can't Jump.
Black team from South Bend. Yeah.
Give me all these guys. The female lead, Barbara Hershey's character.
Much younger than Gene Hackman's character.
Dennis Hopper gets introduced. He's just magnetic on screen, whatever he's doing. It just kind of works. But like everybody's yelling at the coach because, you know, the first game doesn't go well. And Dennis Hopper, when he does the 4-on-5 thing and assists the player, they're like, coach, you suck. Put them in the game. Dennis Hopper is like laughing. He's like, oh man.
He likes the nerve.
This guy's got some chutzpah here to make a move like that. Uh-huh. And then this is what strikes me, getting back to the pod. They're playing a team and it's like hacking and fouling. And they're like, they call them gorillas. These gorillas.
Thank God play like that. They were white players.
And I'm like, imagine what they thought about black people at that time.
Oh, well, that's the big thing. Imagine what the actual language was, what people were yelling in the championship game.
Ooh, yeah.
You hear what BYU fans yell now.
Now, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Or even some OKC and Utah NBA fans.
Yeah, Boston Celtics.
Insane,
And
that's something like they definitely left out, and I guess for the best, but that's the thing that's crazy is it's 1952 and the underdogs are the white team.
Right.
Yeah.
And not the integrated team must have been living through hell.
Right. And I wonder, as a series, you can cover a lot of things. And this actually story would make a great series, even if you kept it more honest to what really happened. It could be a great like mini series, 4-6 episodes, something.
Following that other team.
Following both teams to their collision, you know. Right. You follow Oscar's character and you follow Jimmy's character.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in this movie, okay, it's made in 86. Did I want them to cover that more? Or was this just about a little hokey white
thing? Right, right.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I did not want them to cover any of that, because you know the language, and if they were trying to keep it real, it would take away the inspiration.
You couldn't root for them, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You couldn't root for them, yeah.
But that's the thing. It's as I was watching this team, I was like, well, how could you tell this story and make it less racist?
Right.
Mm.
Without sort of like falsify, like you could have them, you could put black players on the team, on the Hoosiers team, but it would totally change it. It'd be inauthentic to that reality. And it also makes them, it makes that past seem better than it was.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I guess it's like maybe the team they play in the finals. I don't know. There definitely is a shorthand used of like the black team is the dominant team, and you know just because they're black.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where they could have had like some of the players that were doing things be white, like they could have had a 6'8" white guy on the team.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it didn't seem like just a racial battle.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how you'd make this white team heroic if you still set it in 1951 and they're from a small town.
Yeah.
When you look at it through that lens, and this is probably why, you know, the way I heard about Hoosiers and learned about it and stuff was never like, you got to see this great movie. It was always like, man, that's somebody else's story. That's their story.
Yeah.
Their version of their story.
Yeah.
That's not really for us, you know?
Yeah. Maybe you tell the same story and then you do that kind of freeze frame ending with all the characters on screen and then play some music and talk about what they did in the future. And it'd be like, this person coached Malcolm X's high school team. Like just this. Yeah. Just start making up shit.
Because chances like, are they're in Indiana. It's like, so-and-so became the grand wizard of such a chapter. You're like, oh my God.
This would probably be, I mean, it definitely would be positing them in a light that was not accurate. But if you wanted them to be heroic in 1952, you have them lose a close game to the black team. Mm-hmm. And then when the crowd turns ugly, you have the player or the coach address them and be like, hey, respect this team.
Yeah.
Not just because they're good basketball players, but because they're men.
They're people. Yeah.
They're people like you and me.
They beat us fair and square.
Mm-hmm.
They're better than us.
And then the team.
Look at them. Also, the idea that everybody just knew, even in 1951, that these black players were better.
Yeah. You know what I mean? There's so much that's from the lens of 1986.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, because even the line we keep talking about of like, best player I've seen in the last 40 years. You could say that in 1986 and it makes more sense. Right? Yeah. You don't say it in 1951. Totally. It doesn't make any sense. And similarly, there is like in the 50s, you read all this stuff and there was like this white supremacist sort of theory of like, I don't even know if black players are good enough.
Right.
Like that would be like NBA GMs would say stuff like that.
You know, when I did first saw this movie, and the times I've seen it maybe before now, I did think it was like in the 80s. And that also shows you how like the country in Indiana is that country and broke.
Has not changed yet. Like,
you live out in the farms. You're not living that different than how they live then, really. Right. You just might have a toilet and a phone. But in the 80s, you might not even had a TV out in that country. What for? They know lines going out there.
Mm.
Those people all, if they have TV now, it's satellite dishes, you know?
Right.
So until I was in my 20s and watched it, I didn't even realize this was really in the 50s. It didn't hit me like it did as an adult. I was like, oh yeah, 1951. Oh, because like you said, it's written through the lens of 86.
Mm-hmm.
And it does have that feeling, like maybe subconsciously or consciously, it is almost this fantasy, this like white fantasy of it happening when the movie was made.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like when this movie came out, it was one of those movies that they were like, well, the black audiences don't come out to see these movies anyways. So we need to tailor these kinds of films to a white crowd and let's get as many white people in here as possible. I'd be very curious if the script had any race, anything with race in it. Like, this is an all white team, or that team has three or four black people.
Yeah. It's funny that, because that is something too. It's like, not only did we not hear any slurs from the audience or the crowd, which again, like probably for the best, but it's also like they make a big deal of like measuring the rim and measuring from the free throw line.
Yeah.
But no one ever says anything about the fact that the other team is black.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, that's one of the things they're talking about.
Yeah.
Truly, truly.
Yeah. Like a, for sure, racist. Like when I was growing up, mainly white towns, if you went and played, like I was going to say JV, but it probably happened in varsity too. You would go play another school and, you know, either team would be warming up. And for the most part, there would be this sort of assumption, because there might be like one or two black kids on the other team. You'd be like, oh, those are the best players.
Right.
Yeah. And sometimes they were, sometimes they weren't. But that was like a very, like that was a, the assumption white players had. Yeah.
We played the same guys every year from sixth grade to high school. And they would do the same things, like the same fans, same parents. They knew who we were. Our team was like, not quite the opposite, but it was more like more black guys and then a couple of white guys. We usually have like five or six white guys on a squad. And we would still get like, not that they were yelling slurs, but they was definitely like, oh, the black team's coming in. Like we coming early, like, oh, black kids here. And it's like, we're not even that black. Y'all not playing South Bend Central or Gary Westside. We play them schools and
they call us the white team.
Also, we saw y'all last year.
Right.
Yeah, right.
We play y'all every year. What are you talking about? We play you in the summers.
Why is this?
Play you in every sport.
Right.
But you're still doing the same thing.
It just shows how much race was at the forefront of their thought process.
Yeah, at the very forefront. And it's not in this movie at all. You know, but there's also a talent here. Because like in this town, they'll give you a story. Here's an article, here's a book, and somebody wants to adapt it. So to find a story that works within that is another talent. And for him, this guy to like, probably I've heard this story because I believe he was from Indiana or lived there for a long time. And to synthesize what works about it is its own unique talent. He was like, this is what makes it good. I have to leave the other stuff out. This isn't all encompassing. This is a fairy tale.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Yeah, everything you change does make the movie more dramatic and entertaining.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, it has to be like an underdog story. Even when you just described, Brendan, about the truth, it's like, oh, yeah.
There's got to be this romance that wasn't there. And the coach has, this has got to be his last chance and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple of basketball things. The 1 foot runner shot. Love it. I love the 1 foot runner, just kind of gentle push towards the rim. Beautiful. A thing of beauty.
One of the things, do you remember? So Gene Hackman's character calls a timeout. It's like towards the end of the game, they're on defense. And the instruction he gives his team is he tells one of the guys, Ray or somebody, he's like, you let yourself get taken out. Buddy, you come down and close that lane.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've never, ever heard.
What does that mean?
Yeah. It's like, what does that mean? You let yourself get, it's like you, so you let the guy pass you so another guy can come off his player to, it's like, why is that? And like, that's the weirdest defensive instruction.
At one point, the coach yelled at the players, get the ball. On a regular defense, it wasn't a loose ball or a rebound. He was just like, get the ball.
Get the ball. Get the-
You can't just walk up and steal it from somebody. That's not how the game
It's the kind of thing someone yells who's never been to a basketball game.
That's interesting. The writer hates basketball. He was like, this story, though, it's good.
Truly, he was.
Scorsese didn't like boxing and made Raging Bull, so.
Hey, that's good. I'm sure the choreography on the page is just like, other team has basketball. Get the ball.
Shoots ball.
Scores.
And last basketball thing is the use of underhanded free throws. If it works,
oh yeah, Ollie.
It works.
Oh,
baby.
Yeah.
Toss it up. underhand.
No shame.
Also, very first thing I noticed is how thin the paint was.
Oh, interesting.
It was like a really narrow lane before they expanded it.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I might go like, pull that up. I didn't even catch that.
It's crazy. It's more narrow than the like half circle that goes around the free throw line.
Wow. Right.
So it's like, isn't it like in, like, I guess basketball history, they first expanded the lane in the NBA, at least for George Mikan. And then they had to expand it again, I think, for Chamberlain, because they were just too dominant. And they're like, we need to push these big guys out further. We can't let them camp out there. We can't stop them. But yeah, it makes sense in high school basketball in Indiana. It's like 4 feet wide. You could like truly just sit underneath the basket.
So a couple last second notes, we'll get the casting. They played the game at Butler Fieldhouse, which is where Butler's university still plays. Yeah. It's a great location for basketball. Indiana has 9 of the 10 biggest high school basketball arenas in the country.
Oh,
wow. Michigan City's is number 9 on that list.
Oh, cool. How many people it's at?
You know, The Ringer did an article about this and they had a image with that. I have that image somewhere on my computer or on a hard drive. So I do not know. I'd have to go.
Roughly like 10,000, 8,000?
That was my, mentally I was thinking, I think it was around 10,000 or like the top was like 12 and number 10 was like 9,000 something, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure mine sat 300 maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, guaranteed.
It's definitely a luxury. When I started seeing other high schools and how people have high school around the country, I was like, this is where y'all play y'all games? This is a practice gym. and a shout out to, you know, the Poindexter of the team, the shortest guy, the run of the litter, who you know, comes up big a couple times in the movie. That's another movie trope. It's like, and that's what the whole movie Rudy was.
Yeah, the screenwriter was like, that worked pretty well. What if I made a whole movie about that guy?
And then, you know, emotionally, this movie, it doesn't seem that inspirational now. Like the build up to everything and his last words, he's like, I love you guys. Like it just doesn't land now. I could see it landing, I guess, more then, but
the stuff
like,
his that was
bond
most
with his team didn't feel like he was bonded.
The stuff
with
that was most emotional to me at this point in my life is the stuff with the alcoholic guy. Yeah, like when he's in the hospital and he's apologizing.
Yeah.
Like, I let you down. And he's like, you didn't do that. Like, that was the part that felt the most emotional to me.
His arc, when he goes, he gets his, when the first assistant has a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put Dennis Hopper there. His arc for like the next 15, 20 minutes is just beautiful.
His relationship with his son. Yeah.
He gets in a position to coach. And he just sits down. He fails.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's like, oh, man. A few games later, he gets another chance. And his son is like, Dad, I think we should D up the other guy. And he's like, he snaps to it. And he starts coaching. And he's good. He's like, okay, here's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing well. Then he relapses.
Yeah. After the success.
The saddest part of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is.
But then he's on the mend in the hospital. That's the heart of the movie, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
You have this hope that he'll stay clean.
Yeah.
The whole time. You feel for him. And you understand like the kid's shame.
You also got to realize how much of a lush people were in 1951. When he was like, I need you to stay clean for the season. Dude was like, no, man, get out of my house.
Yeah.
Alcohol. If you're from a small town, man. Alcohol gets you through.
Yeah, and they didn't have AA. All these things, like they didn't really know how to treat people. Yeah,
yeah.
So I understood that. I was like, yeah, alcohol is the thing. I don't know if anybody in this town is going to give up a drink. He's just drinks in excess.
Mm-hmm. Especially these guys probably fought in World War II. Probably have like PTSD that no one talks about.
Yeah,
that's why a series would be so strong.
Mm-hmm.
That's so true.
Yeah, sort of like 1950s Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, we get to see Jimmy's story as well, like understanding like his full trauma, losing his parents and every parent figure.
And you follow the Black families and what they're going through post-war and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's going to be some good stuff. casting.
Great.
Yeah. Okay. Before casting, I want to say I would love to see this movie remade. Same deal, all white team, modern day. Just to see them like be the successful team in like a place where other schools are integrated, but this school isn't. I would love to watch that movie. That would be brave. That would be brave.
I mean, there are, you could find a lot of Americans who are down to watch that.
Yeah. I'd watch it ironically as a fun joke. And then some people would watch it for serious.
Yeah. There are Trump donors who are ready to finance that movie.
Right. It could be like a regional Christian movie. How they do those now.
That's true. Yeah, definitely.
One thing real quick related to casting. This movie had a super small budget, so all of the players and like high school characters, they cast locally. And most of them had played high school basketball. A bunch of them were college players in smaller Indiana schools. Yeah. But the players that were college players all were suspended. There was 5 actors who were high school players who played high school players in the Hoosiers movie. The NCAA suspended for 3 games and made them pay back the money they earned from the movie because they determined that they were making money playing basketball.
Oh, wow. NCAA has always been a...
And honestly, I would have thought racist enough to maybe let the white guys go. Right? Like, it feels like a lot of the shit is racial. But they went after these, like, 4 white guys who play at, like... You know, like small Indiana colleges.
Yeah, that's strange. That's strange.
Crazy. Surprising. Yeah.
Very surprising.
And we're in a movie that everybody loved.
Yeah, everybody loved the movie. It highlighted the state, highlighted the sport in a good way. They couldn't have got paid that much, really.
They made, I'm sure, the minimum. Yeah.
Yeah. Wild. Last thing, but then we'll do casting. Yeah. I know we keep teasing it. Oh my goodness.
People when? Who are they going to cast Coach Dale?
This movie, for what whites? Who's it for? Mm. This movie is in the lineage of like Rocky. It's like a blue collar white at the time. And maybe even it's lineage like blue collar, salt of the earth, really Midwest. And like
voted for Reagan for sure.
Voted for Reagan.
Yeah.
White definitely. Guy, you know, who's worked with his hands a good bit.
Yep. Evangelical, like Christian.
Definitely.
Good. Corn fed.
Yeah. It was made to inspire and like just to be like, you can do if there's any big black people in your way.
you can
get past them.
You can get past them.
And now casting. Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
I feel like maybe we should do, let's try where we do Coach Dale last as like.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
Start with smaller parts. So
who do you want to start with?
The only high school player I cast was Jimmy Chitwood. I didn't bother to like look up like high school age actors for the rest of the team. And then I was thinking, I want this movie to have somebody who's like a real basketball player. So right. I don't know you if this NBA? Guy can act. No, I went younger.
High school?
I was like looking up. Bronny? Today I was looking up. I almost went Bronny. I really was close to. And he was my first thought. But then I was like, who's the highest ranked shooting guard in the country right now in high school? And this guy, John Mobley Jr. is who
Evan Mobley's brother?
Is he related to Evan Mobley?
I think maybe. I don't know.
He's a lot shorter. He's like 6'2", but he's supposed to be the best pure shooter in the country. And to have one where the shot motion is pure and where he's hitting threes, right. 30-foot threes, I think would make the character much more fun.
I went, I'm going with Bryce James. LeBron's second son.
The tall one at this point.
Who had a huge growth spurt. He kind of looks less assuming. The older, LeBron's oldest son, Bronny, looks like an athlete. Like, yes. This kid jumps out the gym. Bryce is still a little younger. He's maybe a little better shooter, I think.
He wears glasses.
Yeah, he's kind of has like a smoother, kind of lanky, you know, maybe just because he's younger. But I would go with a guy like that. I would go with Bryce James.
That's fun.
Bryce James. That's great. I went with, I didn't really care so much for the age because all the basketball players looked like they were in their 30s anyway. Sure, sure. So I went with Jermaine Cole, otherwise known as J. Cole, the rapper.
Oh, yeah.
J. Cole is 35.
Yeah, he's a grown man.
he's a grown man. We'd shave him, but those were grown men in the movie. Those were grown men. We would just shave him. He's tall. He can actually shoot.
He can definitely play basketball, yeah.
He can play basketball.
He's playing pro in Canada or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, last year played pro in Africa, I think, yeah.
Yeah. Who cares about acting? He just has to look moody. That's all.
Who's next?
Let's do Cletus, who I think was the principal who brought him in. Do you, either of you guys cast Cletus? The guy who had the heart attack. I think that's Cletus, right? Or did I screw that up?
I didn't.
Yeah, yeah. I did not, but I'll do it now. But
yeah, I'll think go about first. It.
I'll have one ready.
I got Keith David. He's the old friend. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just love that guy.
I'm going Danny Glover.
Nice.
Oh, that's great. Good.
Perfect. Yeah.
I'm going to go with KRS-One just to keep the. You'll see why in a second.
See why in a second? What does that even? I guess I'll find out. Unbelievable.
I'm so excited. All right. You guys want to do
Knowledge Reign Supreme.
Shooter, the alcoholic assistant coach.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Terrence Howard.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's
good. Kill it. Kill it.
Yeah, he would kill.
Oh, man.
I'm going pod favorite, Coleman Domingo.
Oh, yeah. He is a
pod favorite. That's it.
Not a pod goes by. He's not cast.
Not a pod goes by. And, you know, this is season. Every season we restart. Like, we got to use the same people sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So every season, you got to restart so we can keep pulling the same people.
Love it.
100%. But it's not the same people because you can't think of anybody. He's qualified.
We just love him.
He's the best.
A little bit of both. He's definitely, you know, amazing. But yeah. We have a limited pool also.
that is true. But he's great. So I went with, for the shooter, I went with Andre Benjamin 3000.
Whoa.
I can see it. He's got keep his scruffy beard that he has now.
Stretching himself.
And he's a great actor. Y'all remember
him? He's very charismatic. Talent. He's got
some good roles, yeah.
All he's does is play drunk.
Andre 3000, let's do it. Mm-hmm. Let's do it. So he's got to be the dad of it'll work.
He is a dad.
He's 40. Something.
He's probably 40. Yeah. So the only ones I still have left to cast are Myra Fleener, the love interest, and Coach Dale. Do you guys have other ones than that?
Just
Amon does.
Yeah, some students.
I don't.
Players. Hit it. Let's go through the students real quick.
Okay. I'll go through the rest of these players. And to be honest, I don't know who each of these players are based on their name. I'm just putting together a sports team for this movie.
Okay.
Just quit, man.
Okay, here we go. So we got, of course, Jimmy. We got Jermaine Cole. We got the guy named Raid. He's going to be Chris Brown, who can actually play basketball. Yeah, we'll just ignore some stuff.
Okay. Keep it going.
Yeah, we'll keep going. Whit, Dave East, who can play basketball. Otherwise known as Method Man from the Wu-Tang Clan series. Wu-Tang show,
yeah.
These players are like in their 40s.
30-something.
Method Man is 45 for sure.
No. He plays Method Man in the Wu-Tang show.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay, cool.
In the Wu-Tang origin
story. But he's a rapper named Dave East.
Yes.
Okay. That would be great to have Method Man, though.
Who is it? Also an actor.
Truly. Truly. Actor. Yeah. Merle Quavo. He's a great basketball player.
Wow.
So these are just all the rappers that you've seen in NBA, like celebrity games, or that have played basketball in a music video or something.
I think you're picking up on the pattern here.
Yeah.
Just give us some names. Rapid fire. Who else you got?
Yeah, yeah. A Lil Baby we got for Everett's role. And then I went with Ollie. Did you guys pick Ollie, the short guy?
Nope.
I didn't cast any of them.
Lil Bow Wow? Okay.
For Ollie, I was going to do Bow Wow, but he's – No. I'm going with Roddy Ricch. Have you seen Roddy Ricch?
The box.
The box. Yes.
Wow.
Short guy.
KRS-One makes so much sense.
There it is. It does.
Wow.
It does.
Unless you would have went all rap. Like, that was a problem. You put somebody else in. Who was Andre 3000?
Andre 3000. All rap. That's all rap.
Did you go all rap?
Almost. Not for Myra, even though I should.
Okay. Well,
almost.
Man, this movie is gonna be financed by like Rock Def Jam. Yeah.
Interscope Records, co-production. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Last two. So Myra Fleener, love interest.
You should have put Kendrick as a drunken shooter.
That's good. That's good. I should have done him as the drunken shooter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yep.
I got Kerry Washington.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great.
From Myra.
Who I think sort of looks like her.
You know, kind of a strange.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Yeah.
What it is.
Yeah. They have a similar, or she can do a similar thing.
I don't know if it's like similar shape. Yeah, something to her face. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I went with Regina Hall.
We love her.
Partially because I saw Honk for Jesus, I think, and she was on my brain. So
she was great in that, I thought.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Man, she was great, had some great monologues, and was funny. Who you got from Myra?
I just checked it out. I went with Halle Berry. Just Halle Berry.
Just Halle Berry.
Got to put. How am I going to get all these rappers to set on time? Got Halle Berry.
You should bring Halle Berry in.
That's right.
You didn't want to put like Eve or.
Yeah, Cardi B couldn't be in there.
I did. I put
Queen Latif.
MC Light.
MC Light. That would have been interesting.
All right, Coach Dale, y'all ready?
Uh huh.
Yes.
Another pod favorite, Mahershala Ali.
Hmm.
Too good. Too good for this.
Way too good.
Yeah. I went in a different direction. I kind of thought about the size and that laugh. I went with comedian George Wallace.
Interesting. Mm. So an older.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coach Dale. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he
kind of like the old Arkansas coach. You remember him? Oh, shoot. You know, I'll text you about it after.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, they had like an older, well, he wasn't that old in the 90s, but.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah, those Razorback kids.
Yeah. Ooh. But anyway, I went with comedian George Wallace.
It's going to make it so much funnier. It's going to be great. For my coach, and this is a stipulation, he actually has to, and I'm surprised this movie didn't do it, he has to actually show his ability on court, you know?
He has to play some basketball?
He has to actually play and be like, I got to show you kids, you know, that I'm.
Is this Jay-Z or Nas?
Mm-mm. No.
Okay. I was trying to guess
older. Never seen them play basketball.
Nelly's
good. Smart. Nelly's good. No, it's not. I pick Common.
Okay.
Common sense. Who can actually.
Common hoops. Yeah. Common
and hoops. He's a real actor. Yeah.
And he's a real actor. He's a great actor. He can play torture.
I can see him being strict.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That authority figure.
Y'all got to get on the line. AI.
Oh man, I hope he doesn't. Is that Microsoft? Hey. What is that?
Yeah, some Microsoft. I think it was Microsoft AI.
Not my favorite of his work.
We're playing basketball. Don't ball with the basket. Take the basket and shoot it in the ball, y'all.
Got to pass it at least 4 times.
Yeah.
4 passes before you shoot. If you shoot, the spoken word coach.
Oh man, those were brutal.
Oh man, the Gap ad.
Empty auditorium. That was the other part of the ad that I was like, "Who? What is this? A rehearsal?"
Who are you talking to? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man, so that was Hoosiers. A lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, glad we got into this one. Yeah, super white movie, sort of iconically white.
Yes.
Iconically white. It could be. I mean, this year we're hitting, except for Terminator, which. You could put in the category, but if you're telling people what's a white movie and you said Hoosiers, they wouldn't be like, that's not a white movie.
No. Same thing with Tiny Furniture.
And Tiny Furniture.
No argument. Like,
oh, yeah, those are two completely different whites. You got Upper East Coast, Upper Crest.
Yeah.
Yeah, white liberal New York. 2010.
And gritty farmer Midwest white. Back to that.
I feel like we flirted with the white movies in the first season, and now we're deep diving into
we've picked two white movies that would not want to be associated with each other.
Yeah, that's so true.
Two white movies that would not get along.
Truly. Yeah.
This is a movie in itself of somebody from Milan, Indiana, meeting somebody from Upper East Side, New York,
yeah,
and having to get along.
2010.
Oh my God. Well, we'll be back next week with something. It's always a surprise here. You never know.
That's right.
Signing off.
Peace.
Fun, fun, fun.